Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Called When the Path Isn't Obvious. When the path isn't obvious. I think that for all of us, we know that there have been times in our life where we've had to make decisions that we didn't recognize or realize what the right path was. There are plenty of options prepared for us, plenty of ways to go. And I think even our society now, there's actually something that they've named, they've labeled decision fatigue. That we are confronted with so many decisions on a regular basis that there are times where we get locked up and we can't make any decisions and we don't really see the obvious path in front of us. So many choices. Have you ever been to the supermarket and you stop to get like something simple, you know, deodorant, right? Coffee. I need eggs. And then you went and you saw the selection of eggs and you were like, do I want grade A? Do I want double A? Do I want organic? Do I want grass-fed? Do I want free range? What kind of eggs do I want? Do I want scrambles? Why are they in a box like that? Eggs shouldn't come in a box. They should be in an egg, in a carton, right? And there's all these different options presented to us. And literally you can go on lockdown. Why? Because there's so many choices presented. I believe in life there are times where there are things that are presented to us on a daily basis. Things that deal with our morality, things that deal with our purity, things that deal with our witness, things that deal with our finances, things that deal with our marriages, things that deal with our parenting and how to raise a family, things that deal with our relationships, how are we going to be with our friendships, with our family members, with our communities, things that, on a daily basis, we get bombarded with decisions. In fact, I was driving here on the way here, and I was doing a little research. My daughter, she's over there in the youth tonight, and so I just asked her, I said, hey, girl, what do you do when the path isn't obvious, when you have to make a choice? And she said the Bible answer, you know, well, you pray, right? Okay, I said, and what happens if you don't hear nothing? She goes, well, most of the time I freak out. And I think a lot of us do that, don't we? Where we pray, and we say, God, I really need to know what to do. God, the path isn't obvious. God, I need to make a choice. And we wait for a minute. And when we don't hear an answer, what do? We freak out, right? Let's go for it. Let's just have a full-blown mental breakdown and wonder where is God and what's happened. And so tonight, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things that we're supposed to do when the path isn't obvious. First one is this, and this is so simple, this is so easy, and this is so hard for every man in this room to hear, but you know what I'm about ready to say, don't you? Stop and get directions. That's right, get directions. Every wife is nudging her husband in the rib right now, saying, I told you so, and the husband is saying, don't nudge me in the rib, you are a rib. No, I'm kidding, that's Book of Genesis. But stop and get directions. Stop and get directions. Migratory birds in the U.S. used to be tagged by the Department of Interior with metal strips, and they would be tagged with these words, Washington Biological Survey. Well, they found out that that was too long, so they abbreviated it, WASH, BIOLSURV, okay? That's what they would abbreviate it for. Now, the code was changed, as the story goes, after a farmer from Arkansas wrote to the department, Dear sirs, I shot one of your crows. My wife followed the cooking instructions attached. She washed it, boiled it, and served it, and it was the worst thing we ever ate in our lives. But for all of us, we got to stop and get directions, don't we? We got to take some time, and we got to get directions. Now, the greatest directions you're ever going to get is from the author. Right? Get the manufacturer's recommendations. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who placed us on the earth. He is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And God knows how life should be because God created. God is the God who declares the end from the beginning. He's the one who can tell you the outcome before it even happens. So what are we doing going to things, going to people, going to stuff that can't do that for us? God is the author. He is the originator. He is the alpha. But guess what he also is? He is the finisher. He is the omega. He is the end of all things. He is before all things. He is the first and he is the last. He is the end of all things. And in him and from him and through him are all things, the Bible tells us. And so we need to stop and get directions. How do we get directions from God? Well, number one is from his word. There's no greater place you're going to find the instructions for life than the instruction manual that God left you. God gave us instructions, and guess what? They're a whole lot better than wash, boil, and serve. They're a lot better than that. God gives you instructions for life in this manual. He talks to you about how to have a great marriage. He talks to you about how to do business. He talks to you about how to make wise decisions. You'll find that all throughout the Word, and we're going to cover some scriptures tonight that show us those things. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Therefore, if you're ever wandering around in darkness and the path isn't obvious, shine the light of God's word on your situation and you will see a clear, well-worn path from the word of God. God will give you direction. If there's darkness, if there's uncertainty, all you got to do is start to open your Bible and start to read. And God will start speaking to you about your life. He'll start declaring to you what things are supposed to look like. If you want to know what investments to make, you want to know how to do life, if you want to know anything about life, if you've got a question about life, start to get into the Word of God. But not only get directions from God's Word in writing, but also get direction from God in prayer. Now, just like we talked about, my daughter had the right answer right away, which is pray. Pray and ask God. God will speak to your heart. I had you turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. I want to read verse number 5 through verse number 8. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, sometimes we need the wisdom because the path isn't obvious. And so if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? The rest of verse goes on. Let him ask of God. Take it to God. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know how to do it. So God, the path isn't obvious. Can you show me the right path? And look at what it says. Who gives liberally to all and without reproach. God's not laughing at you in heaven. That's what that really that's saying. Without reproach means he's not chiding you or chastening you for asking. He's giving you permission. Come on in, kids. Come and talk to me about life and I will give you the path. And then it goes on in the rest of the verse and it says, and it will be given to him. That's a promise from God's word right there. That if you ask, you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. So if you lack wisdom, if the path isn't obvious, then all you got to do is go to God and say, God, the path isn't obvious. Can you show me which way to go? But I want to read on in the next verse, verse number 6. But let him ask in faith. What is faith? Faith is simply believing in God and in his word. Faith is your strong conviction. It's your firm persuasion about who God is and what he's able to do. And faith is based on the word of God. So if the Bible says that if you ask, then you will receive. If the Bible says ask for wisdom and God will give it to you liberally, that means more than enough and without reproach, without laughing at you or chastening you or chiding you, then you better ask in that manner. Ask with that heart. Ask with that belief that God's going to respond to me. He says, let him ask in faith. Now, why did he say that? With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Think about waves on the ocean for a moment, okay? We live close enough to the Pacific Ocean. Hopefully you all have visited it at some point in your life. If you haven't, you need to take a road trip for about 1 hour, okay? Go take a look at the ocean. Even if you've been to a lake, you'll see this phenomenon. What are they called? Waves. And what do? They come in and they go out. And they come in and they go out. And they come in and they go out. They go up and they go down. They go up and they go down. That's why they're called swells, right? And these waves, that's all they do all day. That's all they do all night. Maybe you've been tossing to and fro like a wave of the ocean on your bed, keeping your spouse up in the middle of the night. Why? Because you're worried, because you ask God for an answer to a prayer, and you don't really know, you don't really see the answer. And so what do? You're worried about the situation, you're worried about the outcomes, and all you're doing is like a wave of the ocean. Well, God can do it. I know God can, but then all of a sudden, wait a second, but I'm not hearing anything. I'm not getting the response I want. No, but God is good, and he said, but you know what? I haven't heard anything yet. Maybe God's a little busy with other people's problems right now. No, God is good, and he's going to tell me what it's all about. I think I heard something from God, but did I really hear something from God? And what are you doing? You're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And look at what it says about the people that are tossed like that. It says in verse number 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This goes into other areas of your life. If you can't believe God at his word, if you can't just simply ask in faith and then wait for an answer, you know, we can type an email and we can wait for it to come back. We can send a text message and wait for it to come back. We can do all that stuff in the natural. Now, I understand that God is not on our time frame. Oftentimes, God's answers and responses take longer than we want them to. Can anybody say, yeah, Pastor, I know that's me, right? We all want it, and we want it now. We've been conditioned our society for that. We've got instant downloads. We've got video on demand, right? I demand my video right now. That's our society. I want my burger in 30 seconds or less, or it's free. How long has that burger been sitting under a heat lamp for? That can't be good for you. And yet I want it. If the delivery's not in 30 seconds or less, 30 minutes or left, right? I want my pizza for free. We've got Amazon Prime. It's bad enough that you can order everything you want from the internet. Now you can get it in 2 days free, right? And then, not to mention that, they started popping up these warehouses. They got one right here in San Bernardino that you can get same-day delivery. That means you can order something in your underwear sitting on your couch. You can push a button, and later that day, it's going to show up. Didn't have to get dressed, didn't have to brush your teeth, didn't have to drive the car. All you had to do was click. And then, as if it wasn't easy enough, right, they've got one-click ordering. Ooh, I don't have to do two clicks anymore. I can do one-click ordering. I don't have to put in my credit card information. I don't have to check and see whether or not it's the right address. One-click ordering. And you know what? They went even further than that now, and they've got a button that when you run out of something, you put that button in your house. Oh, I ran out. You click the button, and Amazon will show up with it. Oh my gosh, you guys. This world is getting crazy, and crazier by the minute. And then when it comes to God, we wonder why we're so frustrated when we pray, and God takes more than an hour to answer us, and we're freaking out, right? But that's why. It's because we've been conditioned in our society that everything is instant. Everything is now. We get instant news. We get instant alerts. We get instant downloads. We get all this stuff instant. Instant oatmeal. My goodness, we've had it forever. Can't even wait to heat up water. But we need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn to settle our spirits down and listen for his voice, because it's in the quiet, it's in the whisper, it's in those moments where you're not concerned with anything else. It's when your eyes are attentive to the Lord and when you're looking to him that all of a sudden he starts to whisper his wisdom. It's in that stillness, it's in that quiet moment, it's when you're ready to receive and you're actually listening and you're not on something else, when you're not unstable in all your ways, when you're not running around, when you're not going to and fro like a wave of the ocean tossed, that now all of a sudden God starts to impart his wisdom and his direction. Oftentimes I found that I've asked God for answers, and days later, weeks later, sometimes months later, there have been times where I've been like, God, seriously, are you answering this question right now? And that was like 6 years ago, Lord. And he's like, yeah, but you weren't ready to receive it then. Isn't that what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I got many things to say to you, but you're not yet ready to receive them. And for all of us, we may be asking questions that somewhere down the road, God's going to say, now you're ready for the wisdom. Here you go. But until then, you continue to get direction. Look at what Proverbs chapter 2 says. Proverbs chapter 2, okay, with these thoughts in mind, I just want to labor on this for a little bit. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter number 2. We're talking about asking God for wisdom. How do we ask God for wisdom? What is the attitude behind that? What is the expression of a life that really wants the wisdom of God? I'm going to read a lot of verses, okay? But I'm going to run through them. I believe that you're going to get a hold of the picture of what God is really saying as we look at these verses. You guys are smart. You guys are able to comprehend this, okay? Proverbs chapter number 2, starting in verse number 1. This is speaking to you, okay? Now, ladies, are going to say, my son, this is still talking to you as well. We're all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So you're the sons of God too. So this is speaking to you. Just like the men are the bride of Christ, okay? We got to deal with that. We're working that out, okay? But look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Now, we already talked about getting direction from the word of God. So if you place a premium on the word of God, treasure my commands within you. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. You've got to go after this. This is not just throw up a prayer like a slot machine, pull the lever, and down comes the wisdom. No, you have to apply your heart to wisdom. You know, when Daniel was asking God for wisdom about a vision he has, he went to fasting and prayer for 21 days. He didn't eat anything that was pleasant to the eyes. He didn't drink anything sweet. He didn't even shower. My goodness, I wish he would have, because then I wouldn't feel guilty about it in the Word. But here he is, and he doesn't even shower. Probably stunk. And yet, what was he doing? He was showing his humility of heart. It says, and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment. See, I wonder if our prayers are whispers when we should be crying out. I wonder if when we're asking God for direction, if it's a last resort, if it's the spare tire, or if it's the steering wheel, as one woman of God said. See, our prayers should be prayers that are passionate prayers. God, I got to have this answer. God, I need to know what is the wisdom on this. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, how many of us have worked extra hours to get money so that we could go on a vacation? How many of us have gotten overtime or picked up a second job because it was important enough to pay the bills or to buy Christmas presents for the kids or to make sure that we paid off a loan? See, when you're seeking God's wisdom, when you're asking God for wisdom, are you willing to place that kind of value where you spend extra time, extra effort, extra energy to get a hold of it? If you will value her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, verse 5, then... Oh my, we don't like that, do we? See, it's only after you have that attitude of the heart, it's only after you go after it like that, then, look at what it goes on to say, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us. Once you start to fear God, once you start to realize and recognize and hold him in the highest awe and reverence, all of a sudden now, the Bible says then, you will get a hold of what you're looking for. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Right there is the same thing that James told us, right? God will give liberally and without reproach. If you're crying out, if you're seeking it, if you're going after it, now all of a sudden God's going to start dumping it on you. Verse number 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and look at these next four words, and every good thing. What's that last word there? I'm sorry, what's that last word there? Path. We're talking about when the path isn't obvious. When you cry out for wisdom, when you go after it, when you seek it, and when all of a sudden God starts to drop it on you, then you're going to see the path. Oh, there it is. Why didn't I see that before? Here's why. You didn't have the wisdom of God yet. Maybe you were still carnally minded. Maybe you were seeking the answer or the solution in the natural. Now, all of a sudden, with the wisdom of God, I see what God wants me to do. I can see the path now. Look at what it goes on to say in the next verse, verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, verse 11, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil. That word way, you could also say the path of evil, right? From the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Verse 13, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. See, there may be something that looks like it's the right thing in the natural. Maybe times where things are presented to you. People on the job, people in the government, or people that are around you in your community that might say, hey, look, at this is how we as Americans operate. And it's totally contrary to the way of God. May even be family members. Hey, this is how our family does things. This is how mama did it. This is how daddy did it. This is how grandpa and grandma did it. And this is how we do life, right? And it's totally contrary to the ways of God, totally carnal, totally fleshly. And totally opposed to the way of God. See, when you cry out for wisdom, when you seek it, man, when you're chomping at the bit, when you're here in church with your Bible, leaning in, God, I'm going to hear your voice tonight. When you start throwing elbows to get on the front row, which I can see a whole lot of empty seats up front, but man, when you start to press in, when you start to seek God, when you start going after it, then guess what's going to happen? God's going to drop the wisdom on you. You're going to start to see the path. It's going to be obvious to you. And guess what else? It's going to preserve you and keep you from going down the wrong path. Can anyone say amen to that tonight? That's what we want, and that's what we need. So how do we do this? How do we do this? First of all, get directions from the Word of God. Get directions in prayer. Cry out for it. Ask God for it. Seek it. Lean in and find out the wisdom of God. But how about this? This is another one. Get directions from other godly people. Now, I want to make sure that you understand this one, okay? Because you can't go to anyone and everyone to find out the will of God for your life. You have to do your homework. You have to do your own life. You have to make sure to do your own work, that you have to do your prayer time, that you have to do your study. You have to get into the Word of God. You have to lean in. You have to cry out. You have to have that heart expression. But if the path isn't obvious, there are times where you can go to other, and notice I put the word godly in there with a capital G. This is speaking to people who are faith-filled, who are of a mutual-like faith. These are believers. These are people that are mature, that understand the word of the Lord. And oftentimes, I'm going to say this, oftentimes, sometimes it's not the case, but oftentimes they're older than you or they've been through more life than you have. Experience. Many times you will find that people who have gone through something with God and have come out on the other side, they have something to say and something to speak into your life, especially if they're godly brothers and sisters in the Lord. Many times I think people overlook people with gray hair just because, you know what, they're talking about stuff I don't understand, or they look down on the young people. Listen, they've lived more life, they've read more word, they've prayed more prayers, they've seen more things, and they have something to say to us. Bible tells us we should stand at attention when they walk in. I tried doing that, and Pastor Jim told me, sit down. I'm kidding. But really, what I'm saying is you can find out what worked for other people who have gone through the same situation you've gone through. You can talk to people who've been married for 30, 40, 50 years and say, how did you get through the struggles? What did you do? And you talk to people who have been in business and successfully retired and are doing well and say, how did you do this whole thing? You know, how is it that you retired and you're living a good life? What did you do? And they'll talk to you about savings plans. They'll talk to you about sacrifices they made. They'll talk to you about the things that they did and the investments that they made. Talk to you about the hard choices they had to face. Ultimately, you're going to have to make the choice yourself, you and God. But if the path isn't obvious, sometimes you can talk to somebody and you can get some wisdom from people who have gone before you. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16, look at this. It says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. See, there are people who do not want to ask anybody for directions, people who don't want to hear what someone else has to say. I think of Rehoboam in the Bible, right? He had his father's leaders. He had the elders around him. These were people that instructed Solomon. I mean, are you kidding me? Solomon was the wisest man up to that point that had ever walked on the face of the planet. And these guys were given Solomon counsel. They're given the wisest guy on earth wisdom. I think they should be heard. And so Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he went after what his friends had to say. And he ended up splitting the kingdom in half. It's no different in our lives. Look at what it says. It says, look for the old paths. Find the well-worn path. Find out, look at what it says, where the good way is. You know, if you're ever in a different state and you want to know how to get from point A to point B, just go find a local and say, hey, I'm trying to get over here. What do you think is the best way to get there? And they'll say, well, you could do this, but if you want to save some time and some headaches, you don't have to go through all the stoplights, go take an extra 5 minutes and go down here. You'll be thankful that you did, right? Why do they know that? Because Siri, she's just going to give you the quickest way to get there. But the people that live there, they're going to say, hey, you know what? If you want to see something really cool, drive by this old building. It's so neat. All the architecture, blah, 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 right? And they're going to give you what's the good way. And look at what it says, and you'll find rest for your souls. You can relax a little bit. You can let up a little bit. You can just enjoy the ride. Ask an older Christian. Look for examples from the men and women in the Bible. How about this? Read it, what a godly man or a woman in history did in the same or similar situations. There are ample illustrations of people who lived life. I think of Amy Semple McPherson. I think of the different people throughout the ages, Smith Wigglesworth, and those who have gone on before us. I think of Billy Graham, who just recently passed. You know, he's a mighty man of God, Charles Spurgeon. You look at all these people throughout the ages, right? Amy Carmichael, laid up in a bed in India after serving the Lord. And yet here she is, and she's writing these things, and she talks about how she made it through that time. Maybe you've been going through a hard time and you need to hear those words. David Livingston, and all these who have left accounts, written accounts, for you and me to take a look at their lives, and that we can learn wisdom and see, well, how did they do it? How did they manage this? What happened? Hudson Taylor and the financial troubles he went through with the China Inland Mission. All sorts of examples for you and me that we can take a look at. And sure, there's even more modern examples that we can look to, that we can see, what did they do to get through the situation that they were in? Just recently, we heard of somebody who was going through a hard time in life and read Pastor Jim's book and saw all the troubles that he was going through. And they said, well, if he could make it by getting into the presence of God, guess what? I can make it too. I can get into the presence of God. Here's the last one for tonight. If we're trying to find out when the path isn't obvious, where to go and how to go, not only get directions from the Word and prayer and from other godly people, but the last one for tonight is this, is rule out the wrong paths. Rule them out. By the process of elimination, you'll be able to say, well, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And sometimes the only path left is the one you want to go on because you go, I know all these other ones are wrong. This one's right. You know, I passed a lot of tests in high school and college doing that. Just, hey, you got A through E. Well, I know A, B, C, and D is not it, so it better be E, right? The only hard part about that is what if it's E is all of the above? But sometimes you can find the right path by eliminating the wrong ones. There was a replacement hood for hair dryers. Ladies, you'll like this one. And it came with this printed message, okay? And this is the printed message in its entirety. It said, instructions for attaching this hair dryer hood. Just clamp, plug, push, squeeze, or turn. So if you get it to your hair dryer and it doesn't clamp, it doesn't squeeze, it doesn't push, maybe at the end you can turn it and it'll work, right? And for all of us, I think there's a process that we can go through where we can eliminate options. There are things that we can see. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. I want you to notice what is not in the pathway of life. What is it from the overheads? Okay, here's a quiz question for you guys right now. What's not in the pathway of life? Death, right? Okay, so if you're looking down a well-worn path and you see death, that's not the right way. I mean, I know this is really tough stuff tonight. I know this is rocket science level stuff that we're dealing with, but the process of elimination works. If you can look down a path and see that's not going to be good for my life, that's not going to produce the results that I know God wants to produce in my life, guess what? I ain't going down that path. But Pastor, short term, that path gives me money. Short term, that path gives me pleasure. Short term, that path makes me feel good about myself. Yeah, short term it will, but long term, you're gonna die. Don't go down that path. And yet our society is constantly pushing temporary pleasures for long term failures. And for all of us as Christians, we need to take a look at long-term success and sacrifice short-term because that is the path of life. That is oftentimes the path of righteousness. Even Jesus' path was marked with suffering and pain and things that he didn't want to do. Father, if this cup can pass from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. So if you're looking down the path, if you're married in this place and you're wondering what to do about your marriage and you look down one path and there's divorce down that path, you know that's not God's will. You know that God hates divorce. Now, obviously, there are times where it has to happen. If you're unsafe, if there's things that are taking place and adultery and all that kind of stuff, again, you got to take a look at the Word of God. You got to have that in prayer. You got to know that God is leading you based on what the Word of God has to say and based on your prayer times where you're connecting with God and you have his wisdom. And yet, if there's nothing in the Word and there's nothing in prayer that is a witness with that, and you're looking down that path and you see divorce just because you're unhappy, don't go down that path, right? Because the temporary pleasure may be, well, so-and-so is giving me attention at work. And you know what? I started texting them, and I really like the way that they talk to me back and forth. Can we talk? Is this okay? Can we be adults in this place? Okay, this is adult church, and in case you got little kids in here, you know, we've got church for them at their level that'll raise them up and help them to learn the Word of God and be reinforcing what you're teaching them at home. But if you're looking down that path, if you're looking down a path in business, some of you guys are businessmen and women, and you're looking at temporary gains But long term, you're going to stack taxes that you've never paid. You're going to cheat the government. That's not the will of God. There's death down that path. Financial ruin is going to be down that path. If you're looking at life, young people, look, play the long game. Play the long-term game. Don't play the short game. Why? Because the short game will get you temporary pleasures and it will elevate you quickly. But guess what? The Bible says you need to take a look at the eternal, take a look at the long-term, take a look at the end of your life and see what things you can sow now that will grow and that will produce in your future. See, these are things for us as Christians that we need to understand, that if we can rule out the wrong path, then guess what? In the way of righteousness is what? Life. Real life. The kind of life that God wants you to live. The New Testament calls it Zoe. It's the God kind of life. God wants you to have a rich, fulfilled, successful, abundant life. And if you're looking down a path and there's death, that's not what I want. Even though temporarily there's pleasures, there's fame, there's fortune, there's wealth, there's accolades, there's things that I like down there. But guess what? Long term, look at this. Look at the life that's down this path. Look at what God has for me. That's what's in the way of righteousness. Rule out those things that you know. Man, you can see it in the Word of God. You can know it in your prayer time. If you don't have peace and you're saying, that doesn't look good down there. I can see that. Rule that thing out. And then follow the path that God has for you. What did we learn tonight? We learned, number one, if we're going to find out when the path isn't obvious, where to get directions from. Number one, get directions. Stop and ask. Ask God. Find it in His Word, or find it in prayer, or find it from people who have gone before you and know the way and can show you. Rule out the wrong paths and you'll find the right ones. And in the right paths, there is life. Tonight, did you guys get something from the Word of the Lord? Amen. I thought since we had a little bit of time, it'd be kind of neat to do something. How many of you in this place have been maybe this word tonight spoke to you in a certain area? Maybe you've came in with questions. Maybe you're dealing with a situation that you don't know where the right path is. Can I just see a show of hands? Anybody that's dealing with this specific situation? Wow. Okay, cool. I do hear from God. Praise the Lord. All right. I ministered the right message tonight. All right. I'm going to ask someone from the team, Jared or one of the guys, if you could come up and just play the keys lightly behind me. I just want to take a moment in prayer right now. Okay. And I want to just ask God, is this okay? We've got plenty of time, so you don't have to run out of here. Church is not done for a while, and we're still going to do a couple other things. But I just want to take a moment of our time together tonight, and I want to just do some practical application here. Jared, would you sing song 4? Just sing song 4 and maybe chorus and bridge. And as Jared does that, I want to give you an opportunity to do what we talked about. Maybe tonight you want to just worship there in your seat and pray in your seat. Maybe you want to come forward and kneel here at the altar area. Maybe tonight you need to cry out before the Lord and you need to shout a little bit. Don't worry about the people around you. They're going to be praying. They're going to be pressing it. Now, don't be a distraction to anybody, all right, where you're slapping people's face with flailing your arms and stuff. That's not appropriate, okay? But tonight, let's press in to the presence of God. And if you're seeking God for wisdom, take a moment and press into the presence of God tonight. The altars are open. You're welcome to come and kneel before the Lord as Jared sings. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise tonight. Hallelujah. God is good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.